Book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter. 12th through the 14th verses. When you have it, say amen. Let's go ahead. Hebrews, 5th chapter, 12th through 14th verses. I'll read out of the Christian Standard Bible version. You will find similar words printed in your text. It reads as follows. It says, verse 12, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. The title of this sermon is one that I'm resurrecting from, I believe, about 7 years ago. The title of the sermon is as follows. Are you a year older? You may be seated. Are you, at the end of 2024, are you a year older? Now, St. John, we've got some babies in the house. And amen to that. We also have some adults in the house. And amen to that. Now, a lot of us love babies because they're so adorable, right? You know, they're coming up with words and when they start to walk and then to run and, you know, and they're just so childish and we love it, right? We love our babies acting childish. You know, I'll bring my son for Jason. Oh, I love my son. He acts childish. Like he should. And a lot of us would find that cute. But what's not cute is when adults act childish. Because from what I understand, we're supposed to act our age. Right, right. So we see young Randy and everything that he's learning and doing and how he acts. And we conclude that's normal for a 5-year-old. But if we saw a grown adult acting just like Randy, we would actually start to think that there's a problem. I'm talking clinical, right? Like some of y'all nurses and doctors and y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Social workers. It would be a problem if Pastor James is acting like a 5-year-old, right? It would be a problem if Pastor James's vocabulary does not exceed that of a 10-year-old. It would be a problem. Are you understanding that? We're in agreement, right? So what's interesting is that we have these assumptions physically, but yet some of us have been a Christian for 30, 40, even 50 years. But spiritually speaking, we're still 5 years old. And what's worse is that we're walking around like that's not a problem. Some of us have gone through 2024 and have not grown a year older spiritually. Some of us have not grown a year older spiritually this entire decade. Y'all realize 2025 is halfway through the 20s, right? The new 20s, right? And some of us are still children spiritually. Now, I'm going to ask a relatively obvious question that we're going to find out is not so obvious. Why do we need to grow up spiritually? Why do we need to do it? Now, some of you are saying, what do you mean? Why do we need to grow up? We're supposed to grow up. The Bible tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us to continue learning. The Bible tells us to continue seeking God. Why are you asking such an obvious question? Stay with me. This is the type of question that the writer of Hebrews was dealing with. In the book of Hebrews, this writer, we don't know who the writer is, but we do know that this writer was very well educated. And this writer was well versed in Jewish history and thought and culture. And so this writer was speaking to the Hebrews. Where exactly the Hebrews were, we do not know. We assume Jerusalem, but we do not know exactly where it is, where they were. But this writer was speaking to the Hebrews and going on and even getting to the part where they were he or she was explaining about Jesus and how he is a high priest slash king on the order of Melchizedek. That's in Genesis, by the way, if you're still following along in Bible study. And the writer wants to get deep. And in fact, the writer actually does end up getting deep in chapters 7 through 10 of Hebrews. But the writer has to make a stop at this point. Verse 11, Hebrews 5th chapter, verse 11, it says, "We have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain." Uh-oh. "Since you have become too lazy to understand." Some of y'all who are reading other versions of the Bible might read dull of hearing. That word dull means sluggish, lazy. Again, this captures the thought that they want to go higher. They want to teach more, but people are lazy listeners. Oh boy. Verse 12, it says, "Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again." You need milk, not solid food. Now, since we got so many babies in the church, some of us understand milk and solid food. And there's a lot of ways we can take this, but we're going to focus on how the Bible has it. And I want us to think about this. The difference between milk and solid food, as it's presented, the difference between them is the ability to chew or process the food. And some of us realize that when you drink milk, you don't need your teeth. You just drink it. In fact, when a baby comes out of the womb, they already know how to drink milk. They already know. Now they have to learn and be taught how to chew food. But they already know how to drink milk because it does not require them to process the food. Another way to say it is like this. You have to do some work to eat solid food. I'm not being spiritual. I'm just talking about biology, right? You gotta. Hello? What'd y'all have for Christmas dinner? You gotta do some work. Now, if the food is cooked right, you shouldn't have to do that much work. But you still have to do work, right? And this is where the writer is getting at is you've got people who are listening to the word, but they're not growing because they don't want to do the It's much easier if we just stay on the basics. Somebody might misinterpret that song that we used to sing. Give me that old time religion. That old time religion. That old time religion. Why? It's just good enough for me. Somebody might misinterpret that and assume that what we learned 20, 30, 40 years ago, we that's where we need to stay at. We don't need nothing else. We don't need nothing new. Just preach the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection, and that's it. And we're gonna talk about that because that's where this question comes. Some people might say, "Well, isn't the milk good enough?" Right? Isn't the milk from the Word of God nutritious? Doesn't the milk from the Word of God help us grow? So when you're talking about eating this solid food and getting to higher levels of learning, why isn't the milk good enough? Why do we need to learn about Melchizedek? I got Jesus. And that's enough. Why do we need to learn about Moses and David and Solomon and Paul and Peter? I got Jesus. And that's enough. So you telling me I need to grow up? Why? Why? Is microphone working? Why do I need to learn more? Why is it important that I attend a Sunday school or a Bible study to grow in the grace of? Why? Especially with my life and what I've got going on. You glad just to have me here today? Why? I believe in Jesus. That should be enough. Why? Well, one reason out of two, and I'm going to hurry up. Why do we need to grow up spiritually? One of the reasons is because we need to filter what you eat. You need to filter what you eat. What do you mean by that? Verse 13, Hebrews 5th chapter 13th verse, it says, "Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced." Everyone say inexperienced. Inexperienced with the message about righteousness, because he is an infant. But solid food, verse 14, is for the mature. That's what it says in y'all Bibles. For those whose senses have been trained to, keyword, distinguish. Everyone say that. Distinguish. Between what? Between good and evil. Do you realize that babies will consume anything? Babies cannot tell what is good or what's bad. When you are a spiritual baby in Christ, you'll consume anything. Pastor, that was a great sermon you preached. You know, I just read my horoscope the other day, and it kind of lines up with what you said. Pastor, I was listening to this psychic on Instagram the other day, and they told me to be ready for bad things. I'm scared, Pastor. What do I do? Y'all realize these are like real questions, right? This really happens. Pastor, you know, I was listening to Rabbi so-and-so, and he said we shouldn't be eating anything with scales, and we shouldn't be eating pork. So why are we sinning over here at our Christmas dinner? For a spiritual baby, those questions make sense. But when you've been at St. John for 20 years, 25 years, hello? In the same classes, y'all in. Hearing the same teaching and preaching that y'all hear. You understand? There's a problem, right? That's a problem. And this is why babies constantly need to be monitored. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going somewhere. Y'all notice that? Y'all can't just leave babies by themselves. I love my niece Melody, but she could reach for anything and consider it good. Y'all with me? We have new believers, young believers, and unfortunately young-minded believers in St. John that we need to monitor. Because lo and behold, we're not the only ones feeding them. What y'all think people don't eat on Monday? Tuesday? Morning, noon, evening, sometimes night, Wednesday? Hello? We've got to monitor babies. Why? Because they will consume anything. So one of the reasons we need to grow up spiritually is, again, because we need to filter what we eat. We need to be able to grow and gain the teeth that can understand, hey, this is good and this is bad. We got to understand, hey, this milk and this meat is coming from the Bible, but whatever that is ain't coming from the Bible. And we got to be able to know these things. But babies can't do those things. They're not able to. So we need to grow up. We need to filter what we eat. What happens if baby Benjamin picks up something off the couch and eats it? What happens if baby Jason decides to open the medicine cabinet and drink whatever is in there because it looked like milk? What happens? We're afraid of that, but we're not afraid of us doing that spiritually. We need to grow up spiritually so that we can filter what we eat. And that's for your benefit. This is for my benefit. But also, we need to grow up spiritually. This is the last point. Is because we need to filter what others eat. Hello? This is why the writer of Hebrews is so dumbfounded with what's coming up. Verse 12, it says, again, although by this time, listen to this, oh Lord, you ought to be teachers. Because you spent so much time with God, because you spent so much time worshiping his name and reading his word, because you've spent all this time, you should be a teacher. Unfortunately, you still need to be a student. So what is the writer getting at? If although by this time you ought to be teachers, you know the beauty of St. John Baptist Church, we should have plenty of teachers. Reverend Burr's about to shout in a minute. One of our advantages, one of our superpowers, St. John, is that we have believers that have supposedly been walking with God for years. We done spent this whole 80th year anniversary going through when everybody joined, and I saw a whole lot of double digits. Y'all remember that, right? So by this time, you should be able to teach somebody else. Now, I know some of us want to be technical and say, well, you know, teaching is a spiritual gift. I don't have that spiritual gift of teaching. Well, you must have also forgot you have spiritual gifts, but you also have roles, different things. You may not have the gift of mercy, but you're supposed to be merciful, right? You may not have the gift of discernment, but you're still supposed to discern. You may not have the gift of service, but you're still supposed to serve. Y'all, do I need to go over that again? So even though you don't have the gift of teaching, when God calls you to fulfill a certain task that requires you to teach, you should be able to. Maybe you're not a world-renowned teacher, but you should be able to. Does that make sense? And you know how I know this? Everybody, all of us have taught somebody something in our lives. Some of us have taught people how to cook. Y'all ain't got the teaching gift. How you do that? Some of us have trained people at our jobs. How you do that if you don't have a teaching gift? Hello? Some of y'all have taught people about the Lakers and why LeBron should or should not be considered one of the greatest of all time. Some of us have taught very extensively about that. Hello? But you don't have the gift of teaching. How you do that? But when it comes to something we've been doing for, again, this is what the records say, Sister Burleson, Sister Hunter, this is what the records say, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Some of us been doing this 60 years. We should have plenty of teachers. And so, St. John, I'm saying this because apparently the Sunday school has a shortage of teachers. How? Bible study need more teachers. How? You do not need to be a world-renowned teacher, but you should know what God has done for you. You should be able to open up some scripture that you're somewhat familiar with and teach on what it means. Matter of fact, even in the Sunday school case, there, what's happening is that Sunday school has what? Workbooks. The workbooks actually do the teaching. The workbooks actually do the teaching. So you're doing what is called facilitating. You're just reading it and asking questions. How do we have a shortage of teachers? How? And we've got people who need to be taught. And one of our superpowers is that we have teachers here. The Bible talks about, you know, the glory of the young man is their strength, but the glory of an elder man is their gray hair. I'm visibly, I'm just looking, we've got some gray hairs here. And we can't just volunteer one day to teach? Or in just some cases, just read? Literally, it's literally reading and ask the question. Am I overstepping, Reverend Burks? I'm saying this because I don't want us to just get used to hearing the word, but then we don't go out and do the word. Move on, Pastor. I'm over the sermon anyway. Move on. Simple truth. Adults raise kids. Babies can't raise babies. The reason you are growing in Christ is because God wants to use you to help others who need to grow in Christ. God needs you to be an adult because there are other kids he is trying to bring in his kingdom. You can't help if you're still a baby. Some of us are wondering, what is God's purpose for my life? What am I doing? I don't know. Grow up. And you'll find out. God would not have called me to be a pastor if I didn't grow. God would not have called me to any type of spiritual authority, neither you too, if you didn't grow. So if you stay a baby, God has to treat you like a baby. Does this make sense? There are already babies. We've got enough babies. We need adults. Because adults raise kids. We so mad about, you know, how, you know, young pregnancies, you know, babies raising babies and all that. But what are we doing in the church? Move on, Pastor. Move on. When we think about the school system, we have elementary school. We got, you know, middle school in the U.S. And we got high school in the U.S. And then there's also college, university, or junior college, whichever, you know, step it is, right? So what is the point of elementary school? The point of elementary school is to prepare you for middle school. Are we on the same page? Let me say it like this. Elementary school is designed to prepare you, not to pamper you. Some of us are happy with the knowledge that we have, and we don't want to grow. Because when we hear it, we like being reaffirmed that we know. We like sermons that we can predict. What you mean? We like sermons. It don't really tell us nothing new. It just reaffirms what we've already known. We like hearing on the third day, he and everybody says, got up. Hallelujah. And praise God for that gospel. Praise God that he sent Jesus through the Virgin Mary and lived for 33 years and was nailed to a, or some of us would say, old rugged cross. Two through his wrists and one through his feet. And then what one thief said and the other thief said, but eventually Jesus gave up the ghost. And he died, and he was buried. And on the third day, he got up. He rose again with all power in his hand. We love it when we do that. And there's no issues with celebrating that. There's no issues with repeating that. Hallelujah, praise God. Everything we do is based on this word, is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means something to us. The problem is most of us just want to hear the story. And that's it. We don't want to grow. We don't want to apply. We don't want to think. We just want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But here's what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, therefore, let us leave the elementary school teaching about Christ and go on to maturity. What do you mean elementary? Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. To the writer, these things are basic. We should already know these things. We should already know that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest no one should boast.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We should know these things already. We should know that God sent his, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We should know these things. We know these things. Keep growing. Because there are people who will hear the word of God, and maybe they're interested, maybe they're confused, maybe they just need to see how it applies to our life, and we should be able to do to help them out. But if we're babies, we can't do it. We already know the gospel. My question to you is, can you apply the gospel? And this is something I tried to do with my preaching some while ago, because I realized I was falling into that trap of telling you guys the good news, but not really showing you why it's good news. It's easy to recite what Jesus did. Y'all can recite it better than I can. It's easy. What's hard is, how does Jesus rising from the dead help my marriage? How does Jesus dying for my sins mean anything for my bills? How does Jesus being buried and then coming up, how does any of this matter at my job or in my neighborhood or in politics? Matter of fact, how does Jesus rising from the dead affect church? I had to realize that if we take Jesus out of the sermon, if we were to preach the sermon without Jesus Christ in it, without the gospel message, would it be the same? And in many cases, to be honest with you, yes, it would. In many cases, because of how we teach and how we apply things to our life, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, if he didn't raise up, would our life actually be different? And for some of us, no, it would not be different at all. Because we don't draw from the power of the blood. We're not relying on the Spirit of God, who can only come into a... Do y'all know what I'm saying? So then we end up in the world arguing with folks, cussing people out, doing the same things that they do. And so when we're called to go and share the gospel with others, they're looking at us like, what are you going to show me? Can we apply it, and can we show others how to apply it? In the sermon. As we grow old, we must grow up. We must. Again, Randy, I love Randy. I think everybody in the church love Randy. Randy is growing older, and we can see that he's growing up. But it would be a shame if Randy turns to be 15 years old and acts the same way. That would be a shame. In fact, we would be looking to see if there's some services that can help him. Right? But I like Randy. Because, you know, he has, I don't know if you've ever just listened to him talk. He's got an extensive vocabulary. You know, he'll say some words and you're like, how do you know that, right? And why am I saying this? Because this reflects, his education level reflects how good of a job Sister Burleson and her husband, Randolph, are doing. There's no way Randy is growing and being as intelligent as this without the support of his mother and father, as well as his aunties, Julie and Felicia, There's no way. What am I trying to get at? Randy is not immature. Randy is actually very impressive. And God gave me that to show you this. Look, we can be immature. We can be impressive. And that's what I want to go home with today. As Christians, when we're out in the world dealing with people's stuff, dealing with drama, dealing with situations, dealing with sickness and death, dealing with hurt and pain, dealing with unfairness, dealing with lost hope and lost plans, dealing with situations changing, dealing with change itself, we can be immature or we can be impressive. We can handle it like everybody else do and prove that we're really not that much older spiritually than them. Or we can impress people by how calm we are in the midst of a storm. We can impress people by the hope that we have when it seems hopeless. We can impress people by the light in our hearts in the midst of all this darkness. We can impress them. We can let, what does the Bible say? Let our light shine before men. We can impress people. And again, not to give glory to us, not so that people can say, wow, you go to St. John, oh, you must be a faithful Christian. No, it's because God is good. We have an opportunity to do that in these last couple days of 2024 and throughout 25, but we have to grow up. So when you are at home this week, I want you to think about, what have you learned this year? What have you learned? No, don't just recite what I've taught. What have you learned? Don't just look at your Sunday school book and say it. What have you actually learned? How have you grown? How are you doing things differently now than you did on December 29th, 2023? How are you doing things differently? Because the Bible calls us to grow. And we can be immature or we can be impressive. And we serve an impressive God who sent an impressive Son to this earth so that we can have a right to the tree of life, so that we can be considered sons and daughters of God, which is impressive in and of itself, so that we can have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God, who is impressive all by himself, can do impressive things through us. That's the kind of God we serve.